Well, if you've got a Bible with you, it'd be great if you turned to Psalm 23, and we're just going to walk through the psalm together a bit, and let's have a look at what God would say to us through His Word. I know many of you will be feeling like I do at the moment. Our way of life has been, it seems, utterly dismantled in the course of just a few weeks, and your heads may be like mine, just spinning with what ifs and what's the latest news and what in the world is going on? Is this really happening? It feels surreal, but it is real. And of course, fear stalks our nation. It seeps into our hearts or rushes into our hearts. Fears for the NHS, for the economy, for loved ones. And in amidst all this 24-hour news and all these changes, we stop and we consider this psalm that begins, "The Lord is my shepherd." Now, some people might say, "Oh, that's just escapism, running away from reality to an ancient book and antiquated images of shepherds and sheep, trying to pretend none of this is happening." No. If you stay with me for the next wee while, I'll show you how this psalm doesn't shy away from speaking about the real problems we're facing. Our fears, our enemies, times of darkness and struggle, even death. This psalm speaks into the coronavirus and it says, if you come and trust in this shepherd, in this God, He will provide for you. No matter what. In your confusion, He will guide you. In your fears, He will personally comfort you because He promises to protect you. This psalm is for today. It's for you. It's for me. Psalm 23, as you may know, was written by a king, King David. And yet he describes the Lord, God, as his shepherd. And it's not just a quaint way to say, well, he's my buddy. No, in those days, a shepherd was a perfect example of one who lived day and night with his flock to provide, to guide, and to protect. And so when this mighty King David writes, "The Lord is my shepherd," he's acknowledging his dependence on God, his need of him, his trust in him. He's willing to picture himself like a sheep under the care and protection of God, the shepherd. And when Jesus came, he was able to pick up this picture and say, "I am the good shepherd." He was saying, "I am God, the one who has come to provide for you, to guide you, to protect you. But before all that, he's come to rescue you, to save you from the deadly danger of going it alone, to restore you to his flock." And so as we think of this shepherd, we think of God's Son, Jesus, the good shepherd. "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul." You know, as I look out of my office window here at that field of sheep, I see a big pile of bales. Actually, it looks like a big pile of gigantic loo rolls. So hopefully the masses are not going to start charging over here to get them. But what is it? That is a picture of a shepherd, a farmer who is looking out for a sheep. He got those bales ready last year, those silage bales, and he knew that he would have all the food needed to get his sheep through the winter, no matter how bad the winter was. And those sheep could just graze away and know that if the grass ran out, there would be plenty of food from their farmer. The farmer knows what they need. They lack nothing, no good thing. See in verse 2, it says, "He makes me lie down in green pastures." Did you see that? He makes me. It's not just that he makes it possible. He makes them take a rest and eat up. The sheep on their own might just keep like Blossom's mother, keep wandering around, looking, oh, there's a bit of greener grass over the hill there. But the wise shepherd knows exactly what they need to stop. Enough of the searching for better stuff. Stop, eat, rest, and be restored from your weariness. Blaise Pascal said, all our miseries derive from not being able to sit in a quiet room with God. Isn't it true that so often we're so busy, we're so distracted, we won't stop to talk to God, stop to know he's there with us. Psalm 46 says, be still and know that I am God. He wants us to stop to feed on his love, on his grace, on his truth, and so be satisfied. He knows what we need. We're wondering at the moment, does the government, does the NHS, do family and friends know what we need? He knows what we need. And it says, he restores my soul. It doesn't say his health or his bank balance is restored, but the deepest part of him, he restores my soul. You know, as everything is shutting down, sports centres, gyms, sporting events, holidays are cancelled, restaurants, cafes, all closed. Could it be that Jesus wants to restore our souls? Our spiritual well-being, has that for too long taken a back seat? And we've said, well, I'll take that stuff seriously when I get close to, you know, death. For now, life is too busy. I've got too much stuff going on. He makes me lie down. He knows what's best for me and for you. He wants to bring us into those green pastures of his love, the quiet waters of his faithfulness, and to have these self-sufficient hearts and lives of ours turn back to him. Jesus is our provider, not just for daily food, but for our eternal destiny. And like those sheep out there in the field, he wants us to trust him now and in the future, that he knows what we need and he has provided for it all. So that's first, we see that Jesus provides. He also guides. Look at that. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. He knows the right way that we need to go, and he promises to lead us. But amazingly, the aim is not ultimately to lead us to this place that's going to show everyone how great we are. It's for his name's sake. It's to show other people how great he is as a shepherd, how much he cares for his people, so others will come running to be part of his flock. You know, in recent days, our me culture, where it's all about what I'm doing, where I'm going, you know, what's happening with me, is by necessity being changed to that we culture. You know, W-E, we culture. We're starting to live more for one another, maybe more than we have for a long time. Everyone's trying to follow the guidelines to care for others. And when we live for others, wow, it's what we were designed to do, to live not for ourselves. But, you know, when we live for others because we're living for God's glory, well, that's the best. That is the best. Because it's his world. He created it and us. And everything is designed to function with him at the center. So when we walk in his paths, in his right paths, in trusting obedience, we're able to live life as it was planned. Maybe you're not sure where life is heading at the moment. Well, it might feel like you're on a mountain, the mist has come down, the map or the compass is useless. Well, ask him. Ask him to lead you, to guide you. He is the ultimate Sherpa. He'll lead you on the right path. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Well, God provides, he guides, but here we see he also rescues. It's a remarkable thing that these right paths don't just lead us to green pastures and still waters, but into the dark and the dangerous ravines, into dark valleys, even the valley of the shadow of death. He allows us to go through these. It's not that he's messed up on his duties or got us lost. It's part of the journey. We have to go through these dark places because we are living in a broken world. If you ask anyone, what's wrong with the world? They'll have an answer. Everyone, maybe a list. There's things that are wrong with it. Coronavirus might be the first thing someone says at the moment. Cancer, earthquakes, flooding, famine, greed, terrorism. We all admit there's something wrong. Isn't that interesting? Even though it's always been like this, we know it's not supposed to be like this. Well, that reality is at the heart of the Bible story. The world was created very good, under God's perfect rule, but it went wrong. It started falling apart because we turned away from God. We tried to go our own way, live for ourselves. And the whole of the Bible is centered around what God is doing about it. His response is not, let's destroy the world and start again. His response is rescue. So he sent his son on a rescue mission. And so Jesus came as a good shepherd, but not only to guide and to provide for his sheep, he came to lay down his life for them, to save us out of the mess of sin that we'd got entangled with and couldn't get out of, like Blossom with that broken leg in the fence. The prophet Isaiah says this, all we like sheep have gone astray, and the Lord has laid on him the sins of us all. Jesus doesn't want our rebellion, our running away from him to end badly. He's on a rescue mission. He wants us to come back to the flock. And so he's made a way back. He's taken our place, taken on himself on that cross, on that first Easter, all the punishment for all our wrong living with God and others. And then he's risen so that we know there is a way open for all of us, all, no matter how long we have wandered or how lost you are, we are today. He's saying, come back to me. Come back to me. I've made a way for you to come back home. I've done everything that's needed. So he rescues, he provides, he guides and he rescues. And then finally, he protects. Even in the darkness, we don't need to fear. I will fear no evil. It's not just that he's given us directions or quote a verse to make us feel better as we go through. He goes through it with us. And like that rod the shepherd used to protect against enemies and the staff which he used to round up the flock, so our good shepherd is sufficient for the task. Everything we will encounter, we don't need to be afraid. You know, this week I woke to find that a pine marten or a fox had been in and had killed three of our chickens. Two left, but three were killed. And we were very sad. That's the animal world, I suppose. That's happening every morning all over the world. But those hens had lived in blissful security for 2 years. But I couldn't protect them on Thursday morning. What was I doing? I was sleeping. But God never slumbers nor sleeps. He's never caught sleeping on sentry duty. When the lights go out in our lives, when we have no idea what's happening, we have a choice. To allow fear to drive us all over the place or to cling in faith to Jesus, trusting he will protect us, trusting he's sufficient. He is. and he's there with you today in your house, as he is here with me in this cluttered office. He knows our circumstances. He knows all that you're facing. I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they will comfort me. He calls us to be people of faith, not fear, when we're even facing our greatest enemy, the enemy of death. As Derek Kidner says, only the Lord can lead someone through death. All other guides turn back, and the traveller must go alone. Go on alone. But not the Lord. He can lead us through even that darkest of valleys, the valley of the shadow of death. Do you believe that? You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. These last two verses, it actually changes the picture of the Lord as our shepherd to him as our host. He's a generous host. There's a feast he's preparing. He's anointing his guests with oil as they do in those days. Our cup is overflowing. And he does it in the presence of our enemies. You know, we have an enemy in our midst, don't we? It's invaded our nation. Our military might is useless to defend against it. All our political divisions seem a bit paltry and pointless in the face of this. Every institution and cultural habit seems to have buckled under its power. It's shown us our weakness, our fragility, our vulnerability as individuals, as a human race. And it's just a variant of the common cold, a deadly one. But it is a great enemy to us right now. And even in the presence of our enemies, those little coronavirus molecules pinging around our country, making us sick. Yes, even in the presence of those, God wants us to have a deep and satisfying experience of his provision, of his goodness, of his unfailing love. Even in that hospital ward, even stuck at home. You know, he never promises to give us a life in this broken world free from darkness or disease or enemies or death. But he does promise to be with us as we face all of these. And he understands our suffering because he's been through it all, even through death itself, for us. So as we face pain and suffering, he can use it to forge us into a people of hope, to renew our dependence on him, to help us to fix our eyes on the shepherd who leads us through the winding paths of this life. But also he wants us to look beyond to where he's taking us, to his house, where he will dwell with us. We will dwell with him forever. And where he will finally one day get rid of all that we know is wrong with this world and with us. And we'll be able to look back and praise him for how he provided for us, how he guided us, how he protected us. But most of all, we will glory and praise him for how he gave his life to rescue us. That's hope. That is our great hope. It's more sure and certain than anything else in our lives because it's founded on the one who has conquered death. So friends, let this psalm be for you this week. A declaration of dependence in the Good Shepherd, the Lord Jesus. It is a song that can be sung in the pleasant pastures. It's a prayer to make in the midst of pain and darkness, and it's a battle cry to shout defiantly in the presence of our enemies. The Lord is my shepherd. Let's pray. Almighty God, you did not spare your own son, but graciously gave him up for us. So help us to trust that you will give us all we need through our living Lord Jesus as we face these troubled times. And we ask, Lord, that all of us would draw closer to you or come to you for the first time in faith and in love. And may it all be for your name's sake. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.